Sisters, if you would take a turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll be getting there in just a moment. The lesson has a good amount of introductory material before we get there, but do be ready in Luke chapter 1. This morning's sermon comes to you by request, and I might mention that anytime you have something that you'd like for me to preach on, feel free to mention it to me. I'm always happy to honor those requests. And so if you have something you've been thinking about or wanting to know more about or need help in some area, then please feel free to mention that, and I'll certainly be happy to do that. Let me mention our Vacation Bible School starts next Saturday. We're down to crunch time in regard to that. Grady Huggins will be with us. The gospel meeting actually starts on that Saturday, so let's all realize that no matter what age we are, we all have an obligation, a responsibility, and a privilege to be here on Saturday. So come and be a part of that, and let's just have a great gospel meeting. We're going to learn all about what it means to be a character in the kingdom of God. And we're going to learn the characteristics of kingdom citizens, and that's going to be a great thing. Grady's a very talented young man, and appreciate all that he does. Speaking of talented young men, Henderson impresses me in so many ways, and I appreciate him so much stepping forth and doing the things that he's doing. And I just know that great things are going to come from his life, and I just want him to know how much I really appreciate him. Good to see everybody who is here this morning. Have you ever had a time in life that it just seemed like you had suffered a major setback? Am I ever going to be the same again? Am I ever going to be able to really make a comeback? If your answer was yes, that's the answer really of all of us, because the truth of the matter is that everybody has setbacks in life. It might be that your health has taken a major turn, a change in finances. Maybe there's a relationship that you've lost. It may be by betrayal. It may be also that just someone passed away. It was very, very close to you. Your career, an emotional change in your life, a spiritual change in your life. Everybody has setbacks. But here's another major truth that I want to set before you, is that every setback is really a setup for a comeback. God will use that, and we can use that as a comeback, because there's no wins without losses. There's no such thing as winning without losing. There's no such thing as a comeback without a setback. You know, we all get excited when one of our teams makes a major comeback after they had been set back pretty good, maybe in the first period or so. And so when you have a setback, we need to realize that it really is a setup for a comeback. Another thing I'll say about setbacks is that they can prepare me. A setback can prepare me for my next stage of responsibility. Because the Bible is full of teaching that God uses delays, He uses difficulties, and He uses dead ends to get us ready for the next thing in life that He wants. He uses setbacks to build our character, to deepen our faith, to strengthen our resilience. And really, He uses setbacks to teach us things that we couldn't learn any other way. They become necessary for us to learn lessons that we need to learn. And so setbacks become stepping stones. What feels like a setback is really a stepping stone to your future. It's not a barrier. It's a path. It's a path to the future. And I don't think anybody in the Bible demonstrates that better than the man we're going to talk about tonight, and that is Joseph. Over 13 years of his life, Joseph suffered what some have said were 7 major setbacks. It wasn't his fault. Somebody else caused it. It was painful. But Joseph says of that journey, God meant it all for good. And the same is true for you. God can take the good, the bad, and the ugly. And He can do great things with your life if we will just trust Him. But the problem is that so many times when we have a setback, you know what we do? We panic. And we worry, and we get anxious, and we doubt. And sometimes we just flat out just don't trust God. Simply put, we just become afraid. Fear and worry and anxiety and nervousness becomes the greatest enemy in our life. If setbacks, then we're going to have to learn to deal with that fear. So what do you do when a setback fills your life with fear? The truth of the matter is that if we are filled with faith during that time, then we're going to benefit from the setback because our faith is running so strong during that time. But if we have fear during that time, then we're going to be broken because of our setback. And when I think about setbacks in the Bible, I think of one place that just draws me to it as an example of people who really had their plans messed up. It was messed up for a good thing. It was messed up for the best thing ever. But still, they had their plans messed up. It's the people who were most closely associated with the birth of Jesus. Jesus' birth was the greatest thing ever. But you have to admit, it messed up everybody's personal plans, at least for a little while. Not that they didn't really want this plan. It was the ultimate thing they wanted. But it messed up what was going on at the moment. And it caused a lot of fear for those who were closest to it. And you're going to see this morning that four times in the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding it, God has to tell different ones, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All of them had to deal with fears when their own personal plans had a setback. And you may be the things that we talk about today. I don't know what all you may be fearful of, but I know this. God does not want you to be fearful. He just doesn't want it. And that's going to get pounded in us in what we see today. So let's talk about these characters. We're going to talk about Mary, and we're going to talk about Joseph, and we're going to talk about the shepherds. We'll even talk about King Herod, and we'll talk about Zechariah. And you're going to find that all of them had fears surrounding the birth of Jesus. And we talk about then what to do with it. First of all, I'd like to suggest to you that Mary faced the fear of inadequacy. You think about it. She's a very young girl. Some have said that she might have been 15 or 16 years old. And she's getting married. She's betrothed to get married. It's a happy time in her life. She's got it all lined up. I've met Joseph. He's a wonderful man. We're going to get married. We're going to have a wonderful life together. We're going to settle down here. And everything is just going to be wonderful. She's got the whole thing, no doubt, laid out in her mind. Her whole life is planned out. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears. And he interrupts her life in a major way. A great thing, but nevertheless, an interruption. And you know what the angel says? He says, oh, by the way, Mary, you're pregnant. I'm what? You're pregnant. I've never known a man. And then here comes the second bomb. Not only are you're pregnant with the Son of God. Yes, Mary, God is going to come to earth in the form of a baby. And you're going to carry God, the Son, in your womb. You're going to be His mother. God wants you to be the mother to the Son of God. You got to admit, that's a bit of a change from the simple plans that she had of the life that's going to be a very settled kind of life and settled down and nothing to have to really deal with. Would you have been overwhelmed if you had been her? Why choose me, God? And why now? How am I going to explain this to everybody? I mean, wouldn't you have been a little bit fearful? Look at what it says now in Luke 1, verse 29. It says that when Mary saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting that this was. And the angel said to her, here's the first one, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can these things be? Do not know a man? And so we have the very first, do not be afraid, Mary. Because there's a lot she's going to have to deal with. You know what folks are going to say about this unwed mother. And then there's this long trip that she's going to have to take when she's deep into her pregnancy, this long trip to Bethlehem on a donkey. She's going to have to deliver her child all by herself, no midwives, none of that, no doctor, in a most non-sterile place. She'll even put her baby in a feed trough. And then she's going to have the task of raising the Son of God. Would you have been a little bit on the terrified side? She has a fear of inadequacy. And most of us can relate to that. There's something that we need to rise to, and we think, am I good enough? Do I really have what it takes to do this? Can I handle the life that God has now brought my way? It's a legitimate fear. And Mary has that. Let's move to Joseph. Joseph faces the fear of disapproval. You think about him now. Here he is, and his fiancée comes to him and says, I'm pregnant. And he knows he hasn't been with her. Emotions that first go through his mind when she says, I'm pregnant. But then she tells him that God made me pregnant. God made you pregnant? You really expect me? You know, those are some thoughts that could initially come to the mind. She's carrying the Son of God? How am I going to explain that to everybody in town? There's the ridicule, the shame, the criticism. People are going to say, he's crazy to believe that story. What in the world has gotten into him? He's crazy to believe that. And his first reaction is to just break the whole thing off. But he cares enough for her that he wants to break it off privately. And so Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example out of her, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. There it is again, second time. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph is going to have to face the disapproval of people all around him who are saying, I cannot believe this story that the two of them are putting together, and the shame that is going to come because of what people think about him. So he faces the fear of disapproval. Question, whose disapproval are you afraid of? Let me ask this another way. Whose approval are you living for? Fear of disapproval can cause you to miss what God has in mind. If Joseph caves in to the opinions of other people, he's going to miss the greatest blessing of his life. He can't listen to the opinions of other people. He can't be concerned about the approval of other people. But he faces the fear of disapproval. Let's talk about the shepherds. We all deal with this one. The shepherds are out on a field. You're camping out. It's a nice night. It's calm. Perhaps your sheep have bedded down. You're maybe gathered around a little fire. You're having some good conversation. Everything's just kind of there. And then wham! The glory of the Lord shines around you. The glory of the Lord shines all around you. And then there is a multitude of angels that appear and they are singing praises to God. That whole night is interrupted majorly. And they are never going to be the same again. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says of them in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I would have been too. And the angel said to them, third time, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Don't be afraid. Do you ever face the fear of unexpected change? Do you like it when things just all of a sudden change majorly in your life? When a curveball is thrown and now you've got to adjust to it? God throws you a major change. Your whole world is changing. And let me tell you, that can be scary. This is all wonderful, but there's a whole lot of it that's scary because of the major difference it's making. And then Herod faced the fear of losing control. This guy was paranoid, evidently. Some people have thought he might have been kind of crazy because he kills everybody. If he thinks you're going to try to take his position, he'll just kill you. He killed family members. He had his own mother murdered, from what I understand. If he thinks that you are a threat to him being king, he'll just kill you. Because they titled him the King of the Jews. And he quite believed it. The Jews didn't really like him. They saw him as an imposter. But when he hears that the King of the Jews has been born, he panics. And you know what he does? He's going to kill everybody. He has all the male children 2 years old and under killed because he has the fear of losing control. I've got everything under control here, but now everything's getting out of control. And he's afraid. And so he just kills everybody. All the babies. Male children, 2 years old and under. Go to Matthew 2. In Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. He was troubled. And notice this, all Jerusalem with him. It's not just him that's afraid. For some reason it says all Jerusalem with him was afraid. So much for the song, silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright. No. It's far from calm. Mary's world has changed. Joseph's world has changed. Herod now panicking, the shepherd's life has changed. So let me ask you, what are you afraid of losing control of? What's out of control currently in your life that is scaring you to death? What is out of control in your life that you're still pathetically trying to control yourself? And you can tell when you're trying to control the uncontrollable. Let me tell you, anytime, mark it down, anytime you're trying to control the uncontrollable, you're going to have fear. Fear will always be present. Every time you worry, every time I worry, it's because I'm trying to control the uncontrollable. We'll come back to this. Zechariah has the fear of being disappointed. You know him, he's an old priest. His wife is Elizabeth. His wife is a cousin to Mary. And while pregnant, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and that's a wonderful moment. Zechariah and Elizabeth have prayed for a baby for many years. Hadn't happened. They prayed over and over and over for a child. Has not happened. They've had one setback after another. And now he's an old man, advanced in years. Likely given up all hope. And then an angel appears and says, Zechariah, you're going to have a baby. And he doesn't believe it. So much so that he even doubts God. He's gotten his hope up so many times, he even doubts God on this occasion. Because when the angel says you're going to have a child, he doesn't believe it. One setback after another, to the point that he's disappointed, and he's just afraid to get his hopes up. You ever been there? You ever been just afraid to get your hopes up? Because you've had your hopes up so many times. And so he's afraid to get his hopes up again. And yet the angel tells him in Luke 1 and verse 11. Luke 1 and verse 11 beginning. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, guess what the angel's going to say to him? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. He will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said, how shall I know this? He doesn't believe. For I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in your own time. He doubts God and has to deal with being mute for a time because he didn't believe God. By the way, you know what came into his life? John the Baptist. How about that for a stepping stone to the future? So I ask you, what have you struggled with? Is it being inadequate? God, I don't think I can do this. A fear of disapproval? Unexpected change? Losing control? Or being disappointed? When you and I suffer a setback, for God to do what He wants to do with it, we're very simply going to have fear over faith over fear. We're going to have faith over fear. Our fear has to change to faith. In the time we have left, I want to hit these points. What do I do to reduce fear and worry and anxiety in my life? Point number one, surrender my life completely to God every day. Let it go. Give it up. Surrender your life completely to God every day. You'll have to do it many times over. This is what Mary did. She put everything that she did not understand into the hand of God, and she trusted God completely. Listen to her words. In Luke 1 and verse 38, Elizabeth says of her, verse 45 it should be. No, I've got that backwards. I'm sorry. It is verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She just resigns herself to it. She's happy about it. It's a major change. She just says, all right. Let it be to me according to your word. She surrenders. Can you say this morning, I am willing to accept whatever God wants to do with my life? Can you say it? I am willing to accept whatever God wants to do with my life. Because God will never lead you where His grace cannot sustain you. And God will never give you something that you're not able to do. When you say, I don't think I can do it, He would say, yes, you can. He always enables us to do what we must do if we will just allow Him to work. Your confidence is not in you, but in God. So it is surrender. Let's hit two quick passages. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 18. I love this because Samuel was wakened during the night and he's gotten the message as a little boy that Eli's sons are going to die for their wickedness. But yet even in that, he reluctantly has to tell Samuel the news, and in verse 18 it says that Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And you know what he said? He's going to lose his boys. And he says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. That's total surrender to a major change. In 2 Samuel 15, David is running from his son who's trying to kill him. They bring the Ark of the Covenant out there to try to protect him. And David says, take it back. Take the Ark of the Covenant back. Don't bring it out here to me. But notice what he says in 2 Samuel 15, verse 25 and 26. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring both me and it back to His habitation. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am. Let him do what seems good to him. Do you hear what both of those men say? David says, if God wants to bring me back into that city, He'll bring me back. If He doesn't, that's His business. Let him do what seems good to him. That's two men who are surrendering their life completely, good, bad, and ugly, into the hands of the Lord. Because they know that God always does things right. So take this step every single day. When you get up every single day, I've gotten to where I have to do this. God, today is yours. I am yours today. Be with me through the day. I trust you today with today. I trust you with my life today. We need to be able to say that every single day. Second thing I would tell you is stop listening to the voices of fear around you. America is full of fear, people. There are a bunch of naysayers in this country. There's a lot of fearful people in this country. And I'm going to tell you why. When you don't fear God, there's everything to fear. But when you fear God, there's nothing else to fear. America's afraid because it's godless. America's afraid because it doesn't trust God. And the media is full of it. You got to quit listening to those voices. And sometimes the voice that you listen to is your own voice. Your own self talking to yourself. You giving yourself negative thoughts. You giving yourself negative opinions. Your own voices. Your own voice is bringing you down. We've got to replace fear with faith. Because fear is contagious. If you hang around fearful people, let me tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be afraid. So turn off talk radio. Turn off negative TV news. You don't need it. Studies have shown that people who listen to massive amounts of that stuff are more prone to fear and worry and panic. Just turn it off. Stop listening to the negative voices around you. Hang around people of faith. Go to Proverbs 12, verse 25 and 26. Proverbs 12, verse 25 and 26. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Amen to that. But a good word makes it glad. So anxiety causes depression, but a good word can make it glad. Where am I going to get the good words from? The next verse. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked lead them astray. Surround yourself with people who have faith. Surround yourself with people who are not fearful people, who are not in a state of panic, who are not prone to worry. They're people who tend to trust God. Stop listening to the voices of fear around you. Two more points. Fill your mind with music that praises God. Somebody has well said that praise is the antidote to panic. That worship is the cure for worry. That we lose our fear when God is near. And I have found this to be so true in my life. Just the other night at 11 o'clock at night, I sent some music. I sent a song of praise to somebody who no doubt she lost her boyfriend suddenly. She then finds out that her body's being ravaged in her intestinal system. She's full of fear, probably. I haven't talked to her personally about it yet. But there's a proneness to that. And I sent her music that praises God in the midst of times when you're wondering how long. During COVID, there were circumstances during COVID that brought me a major setback in my life. And some songs that got me through that time was I Must Tell Jesus. I listened to it a million times. I Must Tell Jesus. I Cannot Bear My Burden Alone. I listened to it over and over and over and over and over. And I listened to Farther Along, we'll know all about it. Farther Along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. I listened to it over and over and over and over and over. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to fill my mind with stuff that praises God. And that's what Mary does. Look at Luke 1. This is called the Magnificat by some people. It's thought to be a song, or at least it's poetry. She's singing, if you will. She's got words of poetry. She's praising God, Luke 1:46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He is mighty who has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with His arm. He's gathered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Do you see what she's doing? She's filling her mind with who God is. She's filling her mind with music, poetry that praises God. Fill your home in times of panic with hymns that praise God. There's a lot of singing around the birth of Jesus. Angels even sang to the shepherds. Gather with the saints here at the building. Sing songs of praise and confidence and trust in God. And last of all, base your hope on the promises of God. In Luke 1 and verse 45, that's what Mary did. She just believed God. She put all of her hope on God's promise. Verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for they will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed. I love Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, because it works both ways. We used to sing this song with our daughter when she was little. I still can hear the song. "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Psalm 56, 3 and 4. It simply says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God I will trust, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? So it's saying that when you're afraid, trust. And when you trust, you won't be afraid. See how that works both ways? When you're afraid, trust. And when you trust, you won't be afraid. Put your trust in God and take the next step. It may be that you're afraid just to get in your car and drive somewhere. You can still do it. You still got the ability, but you're scared. Ecclesiastes talks about that. You get older and there's terrors in the way. But if you can still do it, do it. Take the next step. Trust in God always in your life. I love the story that somebody told about a boy and a horse that were in the woods. And the boy is lost. And the boy looks all around and he says, "I can't see my way clear." And the horse says, "Can you see the next step? Can you see the next step?" He says, "Yes." And the horse says, "Well, then take that." Sometimes the way clear is just take the next one. Don't you know that was hard for Mary? I'm going to have the child, the Son of God. And she takes her next step and her next step and her next step. And it leads to wonderful things. So what about you? What do? Surrender my life completely to God every day. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Fill my mind with songs that praise God. And base my hope on His promises. That's what all of these people did who were told, don't be afraid. The lesson's yours. If you need to respond this morning, we sing now to encourage you. Have faith over fear. Come while we stand. And as we sing.
Bring Christ.